Folks, if you love Mega like we think you do, do us a small favor. Join the Patreon. It's the number one way to support a small podcast like ours. The year we had was, well, I wouldn't say we didn't get our asses kicked with strikes and podcasting budgets getting slashed. So why not just head over and give it a try? You can do a free trial on Patreon. If that's not in your plan, at the very least, share your favorite episode of Mega with a friend and leave us a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. We'd love to keep going, and we can't do it without you. Thanks. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff. Ooh, I think it's a treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Poppin' lock, cause Jesus is the rock, Hallie. How are you?
Oh, that is so cool. I am so good. How are you?
Oh, Hallie, I'm pretty great, you know. Awesome. I'm not sure if I've mentioned before, but my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I, we took his stepson Popsicles over to the arena the other night to go see Christ on Ice.
It was awesome.
The Icecapades.
That is so cool. With a total Bible theme?
Just total Bible theme, and the costumes were just amazing, Hallie. I mean, it was better than the Olympics. It's like if the Olympics had a story that you could get behind.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic, and whoever was playing Jesus, I mean, this guy was just unbelievable. Just amazing, amazing skills, great body.
Quadruple axles.
Oh, he could do anything. So that was great. And then a bit of a bomb dropped in my personal life, Hallie, right after that, because the internet told me that, my former lady friend, Jen Hatmaker, J-Hat, is dating somebody new.
Oh, no.
I mean, we had just broken up, Hallie.
Oh, how's your heart, Gray?
I'm fine. You know, I was like, the body's not even cold. And a lot of my fans and followers on Instagram are just all behind me. And they're just like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm totally fine. I'm totally over it. And, you know, he can deal with her now. You know, it's his problem now. So I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I've never been better. So
I'm so glad
it's
to hear
great.
It. That's so great.
Yeah, I'm great.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm great.
Oh. Oh, you okay?
Yeah, I'm great, Hallie.
I'm
totally great.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
Okay, good. Oh, wow. What's that sound you keep making? I've never heard you make that sound.
I'm making a sound, Hallie. I'm great. Everything.
It sounds like you're striking matches in your mouth.
What?
What's that noise?
I'm totally fine.
Are you trying not to cry?
Hallie, I don't cry. How was your weekend?
I started following Clay Mason Bannerman on Instagram, by the way.
Oh, is he on Insta?
Okay. He's on Instagram. My kid showed him to me, and he had a picture with no shirt on. And I said, well, I had to fan myself, but I didn't look.
Okay.
But I followed him because he's your bud.
Yeah, well, that's weird. I didn't know that. I didn't know he's back on there. Anyway,
everybody should follow him. He seems so nice.
Yeah, that's so weird. Okay.
Anyway, we just had such an awesome week around here at Twin Hills. Well,
yeah,
you know, I saw you at the midweek service. We're doing our yearly end times tables.
It was fantastic. Steve, just at the top of his game.
It really is so cool. So, you know, on the midweek services, instead of meeting in the auditorium for the end times tables series, we're meeting in the atrium and everyone sits around tables. So you're with a different group, a different table group every single Wednesday. And we learn about the end times from Steve. We talk about the end times. We talk about, you know, being prepared for, you know, the rapture.
Yeah, too, Hallie, where you're just around a table with people because, you know, a lot of times it's just nice to be around a table with 90 other people because you're like, wow, this church. It feels like a small church inside our big church.
It's community.
Great. You finally get to really know people.
It's so cool. And I saw you there. I was so tickled to see you. I'd love to hear what you thought. Because I felt like even though Steve does it every year, every time we start end times tables, I learn something about the end times, about the tribulation that'll come after the Christian's rapture. And it's just fascinating. So I just feel like it opens up my mind and it gets me honestly really excited and celebratory to be in heaven real soon.
Me too.
I mean, we are in the end times.
I know you can feel it coming on down.
Did you like anybody at your end times table?
You know, I didn't really talk to anyone. I got kind of put at a weird table.
I had such cool people at mine, and we got to do the workbook. I have mine here. I thought it was so cool that Steve was like, what are the things that you're doing to prepare your heart, your life, your soul, you know, get ready for heaven because we're in the end of days. And I came up with some things that give me a confidence.
Oh, what, Ellie?
About, you know, ascending into heaven at any time and
right.
Leaving a pile of clothes on the floor like when Obi-Wan Kenobi died.
Oh, yeah. Star Trek, beam me up.
Yeah. So I'm excited about my rapture prep. I'm leaving letters for my loved ones who are lost and don't know Christ. And I'm including like my codes and access to our house, to the whole Labonte house and our cellar in case any of my loved ones who are left behind in the tribulation need to forage for food in the apocalypse. So that's one. I'm getting outer airbags put on my car. So if I am raptured while I'm driving my car and it starts to go careening down the highway after my body leaves the driver's seat, these outer airbags are going to go off. So I don't hurt too many people in my absence.
Oh, great. I was wondering what those were. I saw you drive in today.
I also look at these. I have these seasick, the wristbands that you put on in case, you know, in case the heights start to bother me while I'm ascending through the sky to heaven.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, you don't want to upchuck when you're going up.
I get motion sickness and I don't like heights. So I feel like the ascension might be a little hard. And so I'm just going to keep these on. And I'm leaving self feeders and self watering things for my Frenchies and my Corgis just in case dogs don't go to heaven because there's no real definitive answer on that.
Right. I highly doubt if they do.
And then lastly, I'm starting to wear cuddle dud long johns under my clothes, a top and a bottom under my clothes all winter, just in case when all my clothes fall off and I start ascending, I still have something on because I don't feel comfortable shooting through the sky
naked. Yeah,
just,
no one wants to see that.
Yeah, I don't need people checking out what I have underneath, you know, that pile of clothes I left behind. So I'm going to do cuddle dud tops and bottoms in the winter under my clothes. And then I'm going to do like a Spanx leotard in the summer so I don't ascend naked.
Okay. We all appreciate that.
And I thought it was so cool that lead pastor Steve had us all make our own lists.
Oh, I know. This was a fun part.
The signs that are all around us that we are indeed in the end of days.
Yes.
And I sat there at my end times table and I made quite a list. It's sobering to see how many signs there are that we're at the end.
Well, as soon as you start to look around for signs, they're everywhere.
I said, my first one was declining birth rates. I mean, people aren't having babies. We got to get to heaven fast.
Gluten-free options.
Oh, yeah. Well, just look at the price of gas.
Right. Avocado toast.
You know it's end of days. There was a Sex and the City remake.
U.S. women's soccer team.
Young people are getting face tattoos.
Chinese supplements because they're just total crap.
Oh, that's a good one. Also, Hannah Gadsby, female stand-up comics in general doing these comedy concerts. Sick. I don't think so.
Orange Theory.
Or drugs in the Olympics now.
Right. Episcopalians.
Of course, I can't go without saying porno. Porno is the biggest sign that we're at the end.
Okay, did I say Orange Theory?
No.
Orange Theory.
Crypto.
Well, Hallie, I like crypto.
Oh, okay, electric cars.
Waiting periods to purchase firearms that aren't here.
Ooh, good one. Kamala Harris.
Oh, gender-neutral clothing.
Body positivity.
Gender-neutral pronouns.
CNN.
JoJo Siwa.
Banning straws.
Semla.
Nordstrom changing their return policy.
Sweatpants that don't have a drop crotch.
Katy Perry going secular.
Oh, total hacks on TikTok that are just nowhere near as hilarious as John Crist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, critical race theory, right there.
Ticketmaster fees.
Olive Garden charging for salad and breadsticks.
The complete works of Anne Lamott.
Amy Grant becoming a grandma.
Pickleball.
Thongs at the Baby Gap.
Oh, telltale.
Fake bacon. It's everywhere you look, honestly. You had good ones, Gray.
Thanks. They really have thongs at the Baby Gap.
I don't know, but doesn't it sound plausible?
Totally.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. like Jesus gives us the senses of seeing and hearing God at work everywhere in the world, our guest today gives Twin Hills the ability to see and hear what's going on stage. Oh, it's my pleasure to introduce Snyler Todgrass. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is right. Usually when we see Snyla, and I want to get into that name because I just have never met anyone with the name Snyla. But, you know, usually when we see you, you're kind of back in a dark, you know, corner of the main auditorium tech booth, and you are making sure everything just goes perfectly on the for the weekend services. And so it's really great to have you here. Tell us a little bit, how did you get interested in doing tech?
Well, it's a long road to get to where I'm at now, which is, you know, sitting in the booth, making everything work, rubbing the knobs, pushing the levers.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be involved in the church in some way, and I got to be honest, I'm a little shy. So I couldn't sing in the choir. I just kind of thrive, I think, in the background. But I was able to run a smoke machine at one point, and loved it. That was my intro. Flip a switch, smoke the place up, and, you know, from there, just little job, and a couple years later, here we are.
Oh, that is so awesome. Inspiring. And did you, and sorry to just circle back, is that name Snyla? It's S-N-Y-L-E-R. Is that sort of a combination of Tyler and I guess like a snail or I'm trying to think of a name that starts with SN and I can't really think of one. Snyder?
No, that's a great guess. And actually I get that a lot. Snyler is a family name.
Okay.
It was my great grandmother's maiden name.
Oh.
And on my dad's side.
It sounds British. It sounds royal.
You'll like this, Gray. Actually, I think it, it's attached to some people who were sent to Australia
because
we offended the royals,
We
got kicked off a long, long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, that. Well, you know, it is a nation of degenerate convicts, and so I'm glad I got out of there and found Jesus.
I feel like just the fact that you're a tech guy makes you more Christ-like, because you're not seeking to be in front of the camera. You want to be behind it. You want to lift other people up. You want to make sure that everybody hears and sees Senior Pastor Steve bringing the good word of the gospel every single weekend. I think it's very Christ-like of you.
I like to try to build up other people through my talents, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get the lights at the exact right hue. You know,
yeah,
I want
to
put the lasers at the Christmas show in the exact right spot so nobody gets hit in the eye or nothing, you know?
Yeah. Well, and tech, I feel like, has come a long way, because I feel like the tech guys used to just be rolling around those clunky carts that had the, you know, TV monitor and the VCR into different, you know, breakout rooms, and it was all kind of clunky. Back in the day, I remember thinking that AV guys were kind of the weirdos, the quiet guys, the one who were probably going to write a manifesto, like the Unabomber or something. You know, always in the black hoodies and black jeans and, you know, maybe a few rings or tattoos or whatnot. But here, you know, here at Twin Hills, we've taken guys like you, guys in striper t-shirts, and we've given you a purpose and a passion.
Thank you. I'm so appreciative, because you know, you're pretty close. I can't say I've written any manifestos, but I was a kid who kind of lurked in the shadows, and you bring up my striper t-shirt. I was a big metalhead. I think I was a sad, angry young man before I got that smoke machine in my hands, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was it Christian metal or the bad stuff?
It was the bad stuff. So I found Christian metal now. In fact, I write a little bit of my own if there's any metal bands that want to purchase some songs. I like to write lyrics. I like to play guitar. I like to praise the Lord through heavy metal. Because if you ask me, I think Jesus is the most metal guy that ever lived.
Is that right? Really?
Hey, that's what I'm thinking based on my reading. I mean, just think Crown of Thorns. He gets murdered. He's got holes in his hand. There's blood everywhere. He comes back to life. That's a metal album. All right. I don't know why Mastodon's not doing an album about Jesus. You know what I mean?
He did tip over the tables in the temple. That's pretty metal.
Oh. Heaven. Yeah, he did.
And he was anti-authoritarian, I suppose, right? I mean, that's why true. The Romans killed him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I mean, just like me, you know, Jesus had a bunch of friends with no jobs. That's metal to the core. Having a bunch of unemployed friends, you just hang out all day. Yeah, that's normal. Hang out with sex workers. That's what Poison and Motley Crue did.
Wow. You know? Yeah. Now, is that who you liked, Poison, Motley Crue, before you got into the good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't get enough. I was listening to Judas Priest, Megadeth, Metallica, all sorts of stuff.
And then what were some of the Christian ones?
Well, really, Slayer's the only big Christian metal band that kind of popped, which is why I, you know, before I was doing where I'm at now, because I'm very busy with the tech booth and making the singing slides and stuff now, I tried to start a couple Christian tribute groups. I'll be honest, they didn't really take off, but you know, I was trying to do my part to bring Christianity to the metal universe.
What is it that you like about metal? What appeals to you? Is it that it's making you feel okay that you feel angry? I don't understand it, because when I hear it, I say, this is offensive to my ears. I don't follow. And I just want to know, like, what's the appeal? What am I missing? What is it that, you know, really draws you in? And what are you getting from it?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't get a chance to talk about what metal does for me, because a lot of Christians are kind of scared of it. And I get why, you know, there's a lot of scary monsters on album covers. There's a lot of scary names like Slayer and stuff like that. I think what it did for me is, you know, as an angry teen, listening to angry music made me less angry. Kind of like listening to the blues makes you less sad, I guess.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Does that make sense? That's what
less alone
works for me.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, less alone. Yeah, I could see that, all of it. And then, you know, sometimes the music is just so intense. There's just this wall of aggressive sound. It, like, transports me to another world, you know. It's like getting lost in a good book, except I don't really read. But I, you know, it's like all of a sudden, I could be listening to something and I just feel like I'm just in a cave made of skulls fighting a wizard, and I'm like, and then I'm there for a minute, you know, and that's, nothing else does that for me. You know, classical music's not going to do that for me, for example.
Right. Yeah, you know, I always kind of worry about my teen to, you know, sort of have that point of view. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, and I know you're not a teenager now, even though, you know, kind of your body looks like one.
Oh, thank you.
But I did want to kind of ask you, like, what was it in your upbringing that you were just so angry about, and that you were needing to, you know, listen to this music to not be so angry anymore?
Yeah.
I grew up in the Ozarks, and in the Ozarks, you were not cool unless you played sports.
Oh.
And I have medically soft hands, so I couldn't do things. I couldn't play sports. Swinging a baseball bat, feel like I'd rip the skin out of my hands, you know, and the bat goes flying, and that's embarrassing, and people get mad at you for it. So now I'm mad at myself, you know. I can't play basketball. It's got all the bumps on it. As soon as I dribble the ball, I feel like I'm bleeding. It's like I get stabbed with 1,000 little needles every time I dribble the basketball.
Really?
Football, forget about it. No way. I can't even do it. No.
Yeah.
So I just kind of gave up on all of that. It's my palms that are soft, I should say, specifically my palms. My fingers are normal, so I can play guitar just fine, but my palms are so sensitive that I just experienced a lot of anger. I didn't feel like a man, and this music made me feel something, and then took it away, like I said, and I could go about my day being normal, playing guitar, holding a pencil, so long as it didn't touch my palm or anything. You know, I could do mostly normal stuff.
You know, just as a soft palm teen in the Ozarks, I can imagine that was alienating.
It is. People are like, "Hey, why don't you play dodgeball with us?" It's like, I can't palm a ball. I can't catch. Oh my gosh! If I caught a dodgeball, my wrist would blow backwards or something. I don't even want to risk it, you know. And so people just stop inviting you to things, you know, or they're like, "Hey, you need a ride somewhere?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Come in the car." And then they're like, "Why do you drive with only your fingertips? Why don't you just hold the wheel normal?" And now you become the subject of ridicule. It just became easier to stay inside, listen to my music, and, you know, scream.
Well, you probably couldn't shake hands either.
No. Oh, God, no. No, 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 not at all. No high fives, no shaking hands.
Oh,
if I
sure.
give somebody a hug, I've got to turn my hands around, and now I'm kind of batting them on the back with the mm-hmm. backside of my hands.
Oh, right. I've noticed you've done that. That's I always just thought that was kind of a personal choice, but.
Sensitive palms.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, COVID's been good for me because the fist bump thing has really caught on, or the elbow bump, and that has saved me a lot of awkward conversations.
Totally.
Yeah, I kind of like that too, because there's a lot of fellas out there that are always trying to prove something with a strong handshake that makes me feel like they're cracking my hand bone. I don't mind, you know, skipping a handshake on that. Now, sensitive palms, I feel like, is another Christ-like quality that you have.
And I guess that's got to be hard too with... you know, sons and their fathers, especially if your father had tough hands,
if you
really had like these little dainty ones, you know.
Oh yeah, you know my dad had tough hands. My dad and all my older brothers have got tough hands. They all work in construction or the railroad or they're welders, really? They're jackhammerers,
yeah.
You know, they're all doing stuff like that. And so even my own family couldn't understand. They didn't believe me. They say, you're faking it with your soft palms. And I was like, you'll never know this pain. You'll never know
right.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
every Sunday was Palm Sunday for you.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself, brother.
Now, Snai,
yeah.
Do you ever read the liner notes on these metal things? Because, like, it just sounds like, wah, 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 wah. And sometimes I'm listening to Seal sing Kiss from a Rose, and I got to look up what he's saying in that song that seems pretty clear. I mean, do you look up the words, or does it not matter what they're saying?
Now I try to ignore the lyrics because I don't think they're serving me in my journey. You know, they're not serving me and my faith. So I did used to just listen to the music until I memorized the words. But now, because I've been able to rewrite a bunch of the words myself, I try to get people to re-record them for me. Or, you know, I try to tune out specifically what they're saying and just hear vowel sounds, you know. So say, for example, Inner Sandman by Metallica, which my band, Woodilica, because Jesus is a carpenter, worked with wood, not metal. We rewrote a song called Splinter Sandman, because, you know, splinters and sanding, you know, carpentry stuff. But if I were to listen to the original version of that song, I kind of ignore the consonants so that I can keep my mind pure. So it's more like, it'd be like, like, that's what I like to try to here.
Yeah,
when I'm
and
to
that
it.
Almost sounds like El Shaddai, Ella Yana Adonai. That's now that's godly.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Hallelujah. Yeah,
a lot of people don't. I mean, Woodelica, I mean, so you were basically taking popular metal and you were just making it into Christian music, which I think is awesome because, you know, one way to get people to Christ is basically give them something they're familiar with and then change it into something that's Christian.
With Metallica, you've got Unforgiven. I don't like that. I changed that to I'm Forgiven.
Hey, yeah.
You know? Seems like pretty obvious.
There was, let's see, Gimme School, Gimme Choir, Gimme That Which He Desires. That was one that I'm pretty proud of. Pastor of Puppets. You know, there's a lot of good stuff, I think. I don't know if anybody's in. If you're interested, I'm on Bandcamp. You can find me on Bandcamp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Woodilica's got some stuff on Bandcamp.
Awesome.
I'm not trying to plug anything, but I don't want to be a liar. We're up there, you know.
Awesome.
That is really cool. I'm looking at the Bandcamp now, and it seems like you guys are up into the, you know, dozens of streams.
Oh my gosh.
Dozens of listens, and
that's fantastic.
You know, over 100 songs. So that's really really impressive.
I've got to check that thing more often. I didn't know we'd broken double digits yet. That rules. He
I
is
feel
good.
Like- The Christian version of things is always the better version, you know, because these people are out here innovating new types of music and creating original art and all of that. Well, you know what happens when you're innovating? A lot of times the prototype sucks. You know what I mean? It you're putting out a Metallica album, you're putting out an Oscar winning movie, you know, stuff like that. And then we come along, we put Kirk Cameron in it. Guess what it is now?
Yeah.
It has a message, it has purpose, and it's a way better movie. You take a Motley Crue song and you make it about our Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden it's like A-plus material.
I started Judas Priest, to less Judas, more Priest. That's one that I think was a pretty good one. Mega Life instead of Mega Death. Instead of Black Sabbath, Regular Sabbath was a band, a tribute band I started.
I do want to ask you about kind of the, I guess a lot of people would call it competition or, you know, stringent hierarchy that exists within the tech booth, because a lot of times I'll go up to the booth and I'll say, hey, you know, could I get a cable? And somebody will be going, you can't ask me that. You've got to ask him that. And, or I'll say, you know, could I get a little more in my monitor? And they'll be like, no, you've got to not ask me that. I'm the cable guy. You've got to ask the, you know, you've got to ask Snyler to give permission to do that or whatever. So I just want to ask you, you know, is there, is it kind of that way back there? Because as far as I can tell, it's a lot of, you know, kind of middle-aged white guys really taking the job seriously, which is great. There is a bit of attitude back there. So I wanted to ask you about that.
At our next meeting, I will not mention you by name. I'm not going to, you know, out you, but, you know, I'll make sure we talk about that.
Okay, I'm not here to rat anybody out.
But it was Randy Warren, though. He's the one who's the most sensitive is Randy.
Yeah, Randy's been going through something lately. I don't know what's going on with him. I need to make him a metal mix. I don't want him doing too much, because I don't want him to get burned out, and all of a sudden we got no light guy. Nobody to touch the bulbs or turn them on. That'd be a nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
What's the main reason for burnout? Is it just you're so overworked?
It's exactly the reason, is you get exhausted. I mean, you know how many services we do a week between Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. And then you've got to prep for things throughout the week to make sure those services go well. And, you know, well, I hesitate to bring it up, but I mean, you remember Clancy?
He was doing
cameras. He was doing cables. He was doing the board. Honestly, he was a big inspiration to me. All of a sudden, one day, he snapped, wigged out, said he didn't believe in God anymore because he's overworked. Right. So overworked, he lost his faith. I haven't seen him since.
Oh right, Hot Mike Clancy. Because I remember that we all heard him say, "I don't believe in God anymore, and I quit." I do remember that.
Yeah, and that was on purpose.
Oh, really?
You know, he used, well, you know, ironically, we call it the God mic in the back for when you need to make announcements. And he said, into the God mic, "I don't believe in God," which I couldn't even wrap my mind around that. I'm still not trying to too much. But yeah, I think it's because he had too many jobs. So he split his jobs into about six people.
Oh, and his job, what was his job again?
Oh, he was just kind of general. He ran the board. He was doing lights. He was doing some music. He would operate cameras, turn the camera on. Different services, different jobs. But it's just like we need specialists. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want a jack. We've all decided in the group we don't want a jack. Well, we do want a jack of all. No, wait. We want.
It sounds like you want a jack of one trade.
There you go.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Thank you. I want a jack of one trade because I don't want. I mean, how am I supposed to live with myself if I'm making Tony do too many things on a Wednesday night? He's got to run the service for the youth group, and then he's got to run over and like tape a different service, and he's got to upload it to our Facebook page. If I make him do too many things, and all of a sudden he's like, "I don't believe in God anymore," I can't live with myself.
Right. Right.
You know. Right. That's worse than killing a man.
Yeah. It makes sense, though, with somebody like a Clancy or a Tony. You know, you're trying to keep the lights all on. Mm-hmm. You burn out. You know, and I wonder if there's something about hearing the message of Christ too many times. I wonder if you hear it so much that it actually has a reverse effect and you stop believing it, or maybe they just started paying attention. I don't know, but it is worrisome. It's worrisome. But what you said about the God mic points to a really interesting power dynamic, which is that you might be the lowly tech guys that everybody's bossing around, but at the same time, you have all the power. I mean, think about it. At the beginning of movies, a lot of times it's the way that they take over the government or whatever is that the screen has the normal thing going on, and then all of a sudden it goes, and then you know, somebody comes on in a mask and says, "We're taking over now, we're in charge," or whatever. You as tech guys, you could do that at any point. I mean, we're putting a lot of trust in you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I mean, not everybody recognizes that most tech guys are also very efficient hackers. And most of us are, myself included. And we could really sink the ship at any moment if we wanted to. And that's why we're really trying to prevent the burnout, is because I don't want myself to wig out and I sink the ship, you know, because I don't want to go to hell. And I want any of my team to go to hell either. So we're trying not to use our hacker skills.
Right, oh, wow. Right. But
I mean, just because you're white and pale and wear black, I think sometimes people are confused, like, are they hackers? Are they guys that just dress like hackers? And what you're saying is you guys actually can do some of that stuff.
Not everybody. I don't think everybody knows how exactly, but most of us just have learned it one way or another. I mean, you know, when I wasn't listening to metal, I was spending a lot of time on the dark web.
Oh, really?
When the dark web was very new, you know, in the late 90s, early aughts. Oh, so, you know, I just kind of figured that stuff out. Yeah, right. But to your point, I also don't want people to see my team of pale, quiet men and think these guys are hackers. So even though we wear all black, that's kind of the uniform, we don't wear hoodies anymore.
Because
hackers always wear hoodies.
Okay.
So we're just nip that in the bud. No hoodies at all. Oh, you got to keep no hood and definitely not a hood up. You know, we don't even wear our jackets inside anymore. As soon as we come in with a jacket, we hang it on that coat rack there.
Oh, nice. That's no hoods, all good. Oh, and so have you restricted access to that God mic since the whole Clancy thing? Because I just feel like that is such a position of power. If you have access to that God mic, I mean, somebody could go over there and say anything. And as we saw, someone did.
He did. But he was in the sound booth. So the God mic is available to be unmuted at any time, and it stays in the sound booth. But you've got to get to my level before you're even allowed in the sound booth, you know. So not just anybody could go up there. We've got a key code on the door that only me and a couple other people, trusted members of my team, know. So I think it is safe. And I hear what you're saying, but honestly, I think if we remove the God mic entirely, it would show a lack of trust in my team, and that might be the first thing that leads to a revolt.
Right.
You know?
And is it true that Clancy's dead now?
I do not know.
Oh.
I unfriended him on Facebook when he started posting socialist memes, so I don't know what's going on with him.
Okay. Yeah, I had heard something, but, you know, probably best to not know.
Now, Snyler, you mentioned a minute ago that you don't want to go to hell. And it's funny because the moment you said that, I started to picture hell, you know, like you do. Mm-hmm. And I pictured you in hell. And I pictured, you know who is there? It's I bet it's Def Leppard. I bet it's Skid Row. I bet it's Scorpion. I bet it's Alice Cooper. I bet it's...
Well, some of those people are still alive.
I think they're
Alex.
Almost all
still alive.
What's the
name of the guy
alive?
Who... What's the name of the guy who bit the head off the bat and who got married to the
That's
great
Albert.
Gal on The View?
Ozzy Osbourne. He's still alive,
Ozzy
too.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Amazingly, still alive. Still time to save him, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he's a pre-Christian.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you know, the iconography and artwork that all you tech guys kind of like to draw on your notebooks of these demons and, you know, horns and the leather, tight leather and all of that, I thought... Well, maybe Snyler would kind of like it down there. Maybe, I mean, if you look at a heavy metal video, they're like trying to recreate and champion the idea of this hellscape, and that people are kind of attracted to it. And I thought, oh no. And I just want, it made me want to ask you, what do you think you're going to like about heaven?
Well, I think that what I'm going to like about heaven is that it's so peaceful. You get to do whatever you want to do all the time.
Yeah.
And you get to hang out with God. I mean, I know he's with us all the time, but he's physically there with us.
Yeah, but
heaven.
Do you think you'll like the music up there?
I think it's going to be whatever I want it to be. My heaven is my music, you know. I mean, you know, it's not a Far Side cartoon where it's just harps or whatever. I think music from my band, from my tribute band Megalife, you know, we're singing our song Peace Sells and I'm Buying, you know, like we're singing it and everybody's joining us, and that's what I think's gonna happen, is everybody's gonna dig the same music. I bet hell has no music. I bet that's why it's so bad. You just hear the teeth gnashing, maybe you hear I don't know, bagpipes or something. But other than that, I bet there's no music.
Interesting. It's,
yeah.
If there's one thing I know, hell is definitely bagpipes.
I had a thought, Snyler,
yeah.
that, you know, I read something about the most stressful jobs in America, and the number one stressful job where they're always killing themselves is the people who direct the planes in from the tower. You know, so many planes and lives in your hands, that's very stressful.
Oh, I thought it was CVS workers. Anyway,
I thought it was dentists.
It's quite a stressful job. I mean, we have thousands of people in the auditorium for every service on the weekend, and it's all in your hands. If the sound goes wrong or the lights go sideways or whatnot, that's all on you. I mean, maybe it's just a high-pressure job, and your response to that stress is to be angry and to need to listen to some metal and thrash your head around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask, do I come off as angry? Because I feel like I'm actually less angry than ever because I just get to use my fingers so often on the job.
I just was trying to explain that you liked metal. And also, you know what? Maybe you perfectly found your correct job for you because you have found a palmless mm-hmm. job. You're all fingers,
right.
No palms.
Speaking of fingers, are you married?
I'm not married.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not married, no.
Yeah.
Well, if I might give you a word basket of encouragement, sure. Snyler, a woman is going to come along who's going to love those sensitive palms. I mean, I read a book one time of mice and men in my high school because I had to at a public mm-hmm. school, and this one guy was always wearing a glove filled with Vaseline to keep one soft hand for his wife. And you've got two soft palms you're going to be able to offer this woman who God is preparing for you. I know she's out there, Sny.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what are you looking for in the perfect gal?
I think it would be great if she thought I was very funny. I think that's important in a girlfriend, is that she laughs at my jokes or thinks that I'm funny even if I don't really make jokes.
So just a laugher, a girl who laughs all the time, whether it's funny or not. Okay, that's cool.
Would be
that's
ideal.
Doable.
Deal. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, Snyler, it's so nice to connect with you. And I guess I just want to, I was wondering, do you have anything coming up with one of your awesome bands that people should look out for?
Oh, wow. Thanks for asking me. So, of course, you can find Wodilica. You can find Judas Priest 2, Less Judas, More Priest on Bandcamp. I think Mega Life's on Bandcamp too. But I do have something exciting. The Christian Middle School here in Indy has a dance that my new band is gonna play. We're gonna play the music at the dance, which is gonna be really exciting. And it's not a specific band that we're kind of imitating by. The band is called Holding Hands, so it's based on Kiss, but more appropriate. And we're gonna be playing some songs like Instead of Breaking the Law by Judas Priest, Obeying the Law, stuff like
awesome.
That. And I think it'll be a really good time. So hopefully the kids like it and they TikTok us or something like that, so we can, you know, get some more listeners on the band camp. We'll see. Anyway, that's all.
I'm sure they're gonna love it.
Is KISS truly an acronym for Knights in Satan's Service? Are they satanic, that band?
I don't think so. I think they're Jewish.
Snyler Todgrass was played by Tyler Snodgrass. He has a new podcast about country music called Take This Pod and Shove It. Check him out at tylersnodgrass.com. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.